Good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is March 2nd, 2025. We welcome you out there and we thank you for being here this morning with us. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to guide us and direct us. We pray, Father, that your people, that they turn their hearts and their minds back to you, that they seek you and your ways first and foremost. Oh, Lord, we just ask for this land to be a land of God-fearing Christians once again, Father, that reverence you, that understand that you are our lawgiver, that understand that you are just and right and worthy of our praise. We thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, one thing we got around here is we got variety, and we've got a message today that is a message that I've been wanting to play for a long time, but the audio quality was too horrible to be able to do so. And new technology that's been made available to us has made it where I could clean it up enough to where I felt comfortable playing it. And we're going to have a message today. It's called Song and Saga, and it's by Richard Kelly Hoskins. And but I wanted to introduce that message with a song. This is kind of a tribute to Richard Kelly Hoskins, and it's called Look Away. We'll have that coming up right about now.
He was a-talking of a time many years ago when his regiment was bivouacked on an old Civil War battlefield.
You couldn't sleep in it because it was wet, and we were wet, and we were cold, and there was a breeze blowing. So the band got right close to where the tents were and everything. All of a sudden, they broke out. Bum, 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 bum. And the men broke out cheering. I've never heard the rebel yell. If you're not a rebel, you haven't heard a rebel yell. And if you haven't been in the army, you haven't heard it. But I've heard it in our regiments long 50, 60 years ago. The rebel yell, oh man, it sings mile after mile over the hills, and the rebel yells were everywhere. And everybody was jumping up and down, and nobody was cold. Everybody's heart was in their mouth, and I'll declare, I think they had gone to hell if we had given the orders to do it. There's nothing like music, and there's nothing like Dixie.
That southern ballad was not sung in vain then, nor is it now, as Christian soldiers sing the Dixie melody to the king.
I wish that we had not forgotten. The Son of God is only begotten. Look away, look away from your sin. Look away. I was born again through the blood of Jesus. Baptized and redeemed from sin. Look away, look away from your sin, America. I pray for America. Repent, repent, America. Chosen land, blessed by God's mighty hand. Look away, look away, America, from sin. Look away, America.
Stand to live or die by his command. Look away, look away from your sin. Look away. In Jesus' name we will prevail. All enemies sent straight to hell. Look away, look away from your sin, America. I pray for America.
America from sin. Look away, look away, America from sin. In Jesus' name, all things I can. Raise up, Lord, your mighty men. Look away, look away from your sin. Look away, the strong, the weak, the young, the old. Through Jesus Christ, we're strong and bold. Look away, look away.
I think they have gone to hell if we had given the orders to go to do it. There's nothing like music, and there's nothing like dictation.
Okay, we all ready? Back in Virginia, when I was growing up, I grew up during the Depression of the 1930s, and I won't go into that. I guess you've heard enough stories about that. But to make fun, I grew up on a farm. And you didn't have to make fun. There was always something going on. Always on a farm, there were horses and there were pigs and there were chickens. And just everything was going on. It's the most exciting time you've ever seen for in your life. At nighttime now, when the sun went down, there's not an awful lot you could do because it got dark. So you either read or you sang or listened to other people tell stories. Now, if you could listen to the stories, a lot of times you just hear things that you just didn't know about. And especially when they would sing you a song, you'd remember the stories because you forget things so easy. But of a song, you know, nobody forgets a song. You just remember those things. And one of the first songs I ever heard was London Bridge is Falling Down. Now, how do you like that, huh? Well, my Aunt Georgia, she used to sing on Broadway later on, and she had a wonderful voice. And she would play the piano, and my mama would play. And she taught at Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. Mama was real good. And we'd gather around a piano, and when we were real little, and she'd sing this song. Let me give you the story. In the old days, the Viking ships used to come up the Thames River. And a Viking ship would come up the river until it came up to London Bridge. And London Bridge was fortified. It just wasn't a bridge, of course. They had great big bulwarks up there. They had air slots, and they had big rocks you could throw down on any ships down underneath. And they had boiling water, boiling oil they could throw over. They had catapults could throw a 1,000-pound rock way down there. And boy, you haven't lived until you've been hit by a rock like that, you know. And what would happen is the Viking ships would come on up a river, and they would build a sort of little house over top the ships with holes in that they could stick oars through the road, you see. And it was built like that, so a big rock would hit it and bounce off in the river. And they were built out of real tough timbers. Now, I haven't got time to tell you how a Viking ship was built. Your granddaddies were Vikings, you see. Now, anytime you run across somebody got red hair, my grandfather, he had red hair, he says, "You're always looking at somebody whose grandfather was a Viking." Now, just remember that every time you see somebody that's got red hair. Well, anyway, they would come on up the river. They would build these shelters over top the ship to protect the rowers, and they'd row up there underneath London Bridge, and they would throw the anchors around the pilings underneath the bridge, and then they'd pay the line, they'd see, and they would get, and they would get till the line was tight, and then they would get back in it. I don't know. I grew up also. My dad is people from the big rivers on Virginia, and we always rowed boats. And you set your feet up against the foot brace, and you lean back there on your seat, And when you put the oil in the water, it always goes in. It doesn't make a sound. And when it comes out, it doesn't make a sound. If you know what you're doing, you can row a boat and you never hear it coming. That means somebody knows what they're doing. And these boys have been rowing for hundreds of miles. They knew what they were doing. They hook that anchor around the piling. They pay that line off. They take up a slack like that, and then they'd lean into it. And they'd sing this song. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down. I'll get your fair lady. Now, how's that, huh? That's one of the first songs I ever learned. And here's another one. You ever hear about Ring Around a Rosie? You used to play Ring Around a Rosie, pockets full of posy when you're younger. Well, that story came from the plague time. We were in Virginia in the 1650s, and we didn't get hit. But back there in England, two-thirds of all the people died from the bubonic plague. It was brought in from India. And what's the rule? You're not to have dealings with strangers. If you do, you'll pay the penalty. They bring sickness and they bring plague. And that's where plague comes from. It comes from strangers. And you're punished for it. And they did. Two-thirds of the people died. And the way it looked like, they had a little rose swelling. It looks like a carbuncle or something started up. It was a red, real pink red rose that would go here. And they would call that the rose, a ring around the rose. And then it would be a gray ring. It would form a red place here, and a red place here. That was the plague starting up. And there would be a white ring that would form around that red place, and then it would come, and it would break. And it smelled just awful. And what they'd do is they'd put all ashes in it to stop the draining, you know. They'd put ashes in these places that would pop and smell awful, so they'd put rose petals in their pockets to disguise the smell, because everybody who had the plague smelled because of these breaking things all over their bodies. And the song goes like this. Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Now that's where that song comes from. I bet you didn't know that either, did you? Now, already, y'all know a Crusader song, one of the oldest songs in the English language. The ones the Crusaders went off to the wars in the Middle East, most of them went off never to come back again. And they sang a song, and all of you know it. Now, I don't know the original words, because I understand that they sang it in French. But this was a song, this is the melody anyway, that they used to use. And see if you remember it. The bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain to see what he could see. The other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain was all that he could see. Now that is one of the oldest songs that we've got, oldest melodies, and I just wish I could sing it in French or whatever language, but I just don't know French. But that would be interesting. Now that's another song for you. All these songs that you learn as kids are not just necessarily just songs. They tell stories. Now one of our stories, do we have any Scots people who have granddaddies who are from Scotland? Granddaddy's grandmamas. Let's see the hands. Raise them on up there. Okay, this is one of your songs. But not only that, any of you got any ancestors from Britain or any place, Ireland, Scotland, or Wales, anywhere? Well, that's just most everybody. Well, this song was written by a fellow named John Knox. Now, John Knox was a Catholic preacher. And he was well educated because he was from Scotland. And then let me tell you about the Scots. The poor people up there, real poor. Always been that way, because Scotland's poor, all except for the lowlands. And while they were poor, the clan chiefs always prided themselves on education. And they brought in the best educators that you ever saw in your life. And If you wanted to learn, you could get as much learning as you could take. And it was no trick at all to find a little Scottish sheep herder up on top of a hill born with a bunch of stinking sheep who knew Latin, Greek, Hebrew, who could do calculus, trigonometry, and do all the rest of them and think nothing of it, so everybody else was doing the same thing. See? Now, when he ran across John Knox, you see, he was a Catholic preacher, but he also knew Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and he could write and he could read them, and he opened the Bible and he started studying the Bible. And what the Catholic Church was telling him wasn't what he read. And boy, he started teaching things against the Catholic Church because, man, they were trashy. They were doing some trashy things. They owned half of all the land. Half the people worked for the Catholic Church, working out in the farms, working on the ships, working in the glass works, working on canal boats, working on ships. Half the people, and everybody was mad at the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church came after John Knox, and they caught him. And they put him on a slave ship that's called a galley. And you get on one of those galleys and you have to row those oars that nail you right down there in the seat. And you stayed there until the day you died. And to get on a galley was a death sentence. But he was on it's a funny thing about the Lord. He can get people out of messes like that. And he got John Knox off that slave ship, off that galley, and he escaped to Geneva. And he helped write a Bible over there called the Geneva Bible. Y'all ever heard of the Geneva Bible? Okay, now he helped translate that Bible, and he and Calvin and a guy named Zwingli, forgot to get the Germans in there, you know. And he put his notes in there. He was probably smarter than all the rest of them put together. But he came back to Scotland, see? And he brought his teachings with him. And when he arrived in Scotland, he was the only person in the British Isles who thought the way he thought. That the Word, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the only person to believe that. And when he died, everybody believed it. In the whole British Isles. And he wrote a song. I was in Edinburgh, and I went by his house. And his house stuck out there in the street. It was one of the few old houses they didn't tear down. I went in that, and they had lintels to the doorways. You bump your head. You have to stoop down to get, you know, from one room to the next. And they built houses all sort of funny back there in that day and time. But I went there. That John Knox was just like us and had as many fears as we did, but he went ahead and did what he did anyway. And he wrote a song. And it goes like this. A mighty fortress is thou God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. But still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His power and strength is great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. That is a mighty song, a mighty fortress. Don't ever forget that. Armies march to that song, and they have done it since. He started a period that revolutionized the British Isles. John Knox, the Geneva Bible. A mighty fortress is our God. My mama was a Hume. My mama's mama was a Hume. A Hume of Wedderburn. A Hume is not a name, it's a place. It's a Hume lands. They're the border lands between Scotland and England. And they put the warriors, the king put the warriors that they thought that could hold the English back into those lands. And my people were Dunbars. Robert Bruce was a Dunbar. And he was called the Wedderburn Humes. And his armies were always the first to meet the English. And he commanded my granddaddy commanded the right wing of the Scottish armies. And in 1715, they went to war. And my granddaddy, his father, was the English, Scottish army was defeated. And he was sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. Now, I don't, everybody knows what that means? All right. That was a penalty, a sentence that you passed on people. And they took my granddaddy before the court down there, and they sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. And that's what you hang somebody by the neck until they lose consciousness, and then you cut them down. And you throw water in their face to bring them to. And then you take a knife and cut them open, and you take their intestines out, and you burn them right in front of their face. And then you grab them by the hair and put them down on a block, and they chop his head off. And then you take a billhook. You all know what a billhook is that you work on trees with? You take a billhook and you quarter them. Why did it quarter them? Because it got four quarters. You got Scotland, you got Wales, you got Ireland, you got England. You quarter them into four pieces and you send each part of the quarter to each part of the realm to stick up on top of one of the major forts to show what happens to traitors, see? That was my granddaddy. Now his boy was George, young George. Now, he was 15 years old, and he had a chain put around his neck, and he was put in a slave ship, and he was sent to Virginia, and he was sold off a block down there at Yorktown. His cousin was a governor, and he was more fortunate than many, and he bought his indenture, 7-year indenture. And why 7 years? The law says you can't imprison a man more than 7 years. It's the law. Nobody is in prison for more than 7 years in our Christian nation. So he bought his indenture and set him up there at Spotsylvania as a surveyor. He set him up in business. Of course, he was a cousin. But back there in Scotland, when I went back over yonder, I walked into the hall there that used to belong to our family. It was turned over to another family. And out, right there on the table there in the middle of the room was a sword. It was a basket-hilted sword, and I went over and picked it up. It belonged to my granddaddy that fought in that war. And I tell you, that was one of the times a real thrill went through me. And then I looked over in the wall, and there was a flag. You know, a Scottish flag is a blue flag, got a white cross like that in it. This wasn't that way. It was a green flag, and it had a yellow cross like this. But it was the same cross of St. Andrew's. And on it had the blood of my granddaddies who died 100 years before 1715 in the Battle of Dunbar. Sometime I'll tell you about that story. That was a very stirring trip I had. You see, I was the first one to go back since 1715, go back home. And every time I turned a curve, I thought I'd know what was on the other side of the curve, like I'd been there before. And I did. The bridges were, I imagined in my mind there'd be a bridge, there would be a bridge there. I would imagine that there would be a house there, a rock house, it would be there. It was a very unusual trip I had. But anyway, the song they played when they marched, when the pipes were going, you see, after the British took over, they banned the pipes and they banned the kilts. And they banned the clans. And you couldn't play the pipes anymore. So that's why you hear, the Earl took up the violin, the fiddle. And that's why you hear so much of the fiddle music sounds like Scottish songs. Because they are Scottish songs. And that's how the tradition comes from. Right here, you listen to some of the songs they sing here. They'll sound like Scottish songs. And they're played with a fiddle because the pipes were banned. But this is the one, this is a song, They played as they went into battle. Way-ha, 100 pipers and a 100 pipers and a we'll up and give them a blah-blah. We're 100 pipers and a me Highland lad look bro, with his tartan kilt and a and shining gun and glittering gear. and pop rocks down and sweet and clear. Oh, it's all the borders away, away. It's all the borders away, away. We'll on, we'll march to Kailaha, with its yeats, its castles and Arana. Way 100 pipers and Arana, 100 pipers and Arana. We'll on and send, give them a blah, a blah, with 100 pipers and Arana. Now, a Scottish army, the pipes are like trumpets and bugles to any other army. The pipes are always playing. They tell you what's going on here. They tell you what's going on there. They tell you when to advance. They tell you when to fall back. They tell you when to attack. They tell you when to retreat. They tell you everything. You got to understand the pipes and what they're telling you. And they're always going. You always know what's going on at all points of the battlefield at all times because the pipes are going. The pipes are absolutely wonderful. And you feel different when you hear the pipes in the distance. Oh, it's a chill that goes down your neck, down your back. Well, you just don't get it anywhere else. I'm so sorry I don't have enough time for you. You know, I'll get as much in this stuff as I can because we've got lots of different people, and I've just been talking about, but I got to say a couple more things about the Scots. In the rising of the 45, how many of you know what a claymore is? Okay, a claymore. All right, good, good. Some of you know what a claymore is. It's a long sword. It's a long two-handed sword. And it takes a big man to handle it. Not a little man can handle a claymore. You have to see a claymore to see what it's really like. And a claymore man, he's defenseless. He's got nobody to look after. When he's doing like this, somebody will stick him. Well, who's going to defend him? You've got to have two men besides each man with a claymore. Man on right, man on left, see, with ordinary swords and shields. To step out in front of him, and at the last moment, when he's ready to go, like that, they draw back like that, and he goes, and everything, you know, gets hurt in front of him. Now, that's a claymore, you see. He does like this, and they do like this with the shields to defend him, you know. And then he goes, and they go, get back like that, because they don't want to be in the way when that thing comes down, see. That's a claymore, okay. Prince Charlie lost, put him on a ship, sent him over to the Isle of Skye. Wrote a song about it. It's called Sky Isle Song. And it goes like this. Sail, bonny ship, away on the sea, on with the sailor's cry. Bury the lad who is born to be king o'er the sea to sky. Many's the lad fought on that day, well, the claymore could wield. When the night came, silently lay dead on Culloden's field. Sail, bunny ship, away on the sea, on with the sailor's cry. Bury the lad who's born to be king o'er the sea to sky. Now that's a Sky Island song. Remember it next time you hear it, yeah? It's an important song, at least the Scots. Now, they got an English song. Now, I don't like this. Now, Covenants, most of us are descended from Covenanters. And we are Covenanters now. We have covenanted with God and each other to obey the laws, statutes, and judgments of God Almighty and nobody else. And He has made us kings and priests, right? Isn't that what the scriptures say? Well, how in the world you go around singing, God save the king? Meaning that guy over there, see? If we are kings and priests, God Almighty has made us kings and priests. We're supposed to go around saying, God save the king. The heck with it, huh? And if you didn't say, God save the king, the dragoon would come up and take a pistol against your head and blow your brains out before your wife and family. And there's lots of our granddaddies died that way. But I'm going to sing you the song because lots of our people still live under that song. And if it's British here that like this song, I'm real sorry. And I'm sorry if I don't get the words exactly right. I don't sing his song every day. God save our noble king, long to reign over us. God save the king. Happy victorious, long to reign over us. God save our noble king. God save the king. We give credit to no one except God. The PWs in Virginia, they landed down at Yorktown. They're smart on whips. They put them out to the tobacco field, hoeing tobacco and corn. And then the plantation owners, the English, I'm English too, found out that knew Latin, Greek, Hebrew. So they put them ahead of schools. And this is 1715, 1745, and what happened in 1775? War! Would you expect anything different? And who was the enemy? England. And who were the teachers? The Scots. And who hated the guts out of England? The Scotland, all right? The Scots were the teachers, and they had a war with England. Surprise, surprise, surprise. They taught Tom Jefferson. They taught George Washington. They taught Patrick Henry. Latin. They taught them Latin, Greek, Hebrew. Taught them all their figures. Taught them to say, there's a mouse about the house, and there's no doubt about it. And then we had a war. And I live on a road. It used to be the old Lexington New London Turnpike. New London used to be a big town, but now it's only got about 8 houses in it. They thought it was going to be bigger than New York, see? And they had these German regiments marching up down the road. See, that they hired the Germans to fight for them because England was in a great big war. England's always been in a war, it seems like. And they didn't have enough soldiers, so they hired the Germans to fight for them. And Germans, well, they did. They fought well. They were some of the best regiments the British Army had at all. And they sang a song when they walked right in front of my house. Marching up that road out to New London. And here's the song they sang. Hey, got anybody here got German descent? Everybody. Okay, now here's their song. Anybody know German here? Oh, y'all don't know German. I'll sing it in English first, and it doesn't sound right. And then I'll sing it in German. How's that? Now, just picture the troops marching. Click, 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 click. Going down the road, you know, and they're singing. Marching through prairies, marching through sand, boom, 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 is the marcher's pleasure. In his homeland, boom, 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 is the marcher's pleasure. In his homeland, fly high, fly high, you red eagle, high over swamp and sand, high over dark green fir forest, hail you, my Brandenburger land. High over dark green fir forest, hail you, my Brandenburger land. You see, they're Brandenburger regiments. All right. This is the way it sounds in German. It doesn't sound that way at all. Märkische Heide, Märkische Song, boom, 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 is das Märkes Freude, singt sein Heimatland, boom, 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 singt des Märkes Freude, singt sein Heimatland, stage ho, der rote Adler, hoch über Sumpf und Sand, hoch über Donkey Kief und Weide, heil dir, mein Brandenburger Land. Hoch über Donkey Kief und Weide, heil dir, mein Brandenburger Land. Now that's what the Brandenburger Regiment sound like, huh? But how many people got around here named Jones? How many Welsh we got? Got any people here from Wales? Okay, we got a bunch of people here from Wales. Well, the Welsh are a separate, distinct group of people. They're different from everybody and part of everybody. They have an insight, and they have a spirit, and they have a vision into the future that few other people have. And they are fighters. Some of the best pilots the British RAF ever had were the Welsh. And they had a castle when they were fighting for their independence, when Britain was trying to conquer them. It was called Holly Castle. And this was their song. Men of Harlech, In the hollow do ye hear, like rushing billow, wave on wave, that surging follows battle's distant sound. 'Tis the tramp of Saxon foemen, Saxon spearmen, Saxon bowmen, be they knights or hinds a yeoman, they shall bite the ground. Loose the folds asunder, frag we conquer under, the placid sky, now bright on high, shall loose its bolts in thunder. Men of Harlech, young or hoary, would you win a name in glory? Honor self, now proudly heads us, freedom, God, and right. That's Men of Harlech. When you hear that song, remember, it's sung by a very special people. Your people. Now, my granddaddy, Robert Byrd, he was a lieutenant in the 1st Virginia, the 1st Continental Line. It had been the 1st Virginia Regiment. The 1st Virginia Regiment is the Richmond Light Infantry Blues. I belonged to the Richmond Light Infantry Blues. My daddy belonged to the Richmond Light Infantry Blues. And my great-great-granddaddy belonged to the Richmond Light Infantry Blues. I'll tell you a little story about the Richmond Light Infantry Blues sons. The Little Boy Blues, in a little while, if I got time, because that is a story indeed that you really ought to listen. Aren't you a sweetheart? Thank you so much. I appreciate that, man. Now, they were down at Yorktown. Now, say what you want, some of the finest soldiers in the whole wide world are the British soldiers. They are good. Probably the best general in the whole Revolutionary War was a man named Cornwallis, the British general. He was good. And those British troops in line, when you got a battle line out there, three lines deep, firing 1 ounce balls, 3 a minute, and the first line would come through and they would present and they'd fire, and the other two lines were loading, the second line would go through and present and fire. The line's moving forward all the time. It's always moving forward, or it's always moving back. It's not standing still. Out in front, before the battle starts, you got these riflemen. They got the light infantry, and they got rifles. They're only about that long, but they shoot just as good as our long rifles here in Virginia, and they are just as accurate. They were fighting tricks, and they got a song too. It's called The British Grenadier. Now, the grenadier, his job is to go before the glacis. Y'all don't know what a glacis is. It's sort of like a Indian fort. You know, you got the stakes stuck in the ground all sharpened like that, and you got to crawl through that doggone stuff while somebody's down there shooting at you, and you're trying to take an axe and cut those things down so you can get to the enemy. It was the barbed wire of that day and time, the glacis. What you did now to keep the enemy occupied was you get in front of the glacis. The grenadiers would be with their fuses, would light the grenades and throw. That's what a grenadier is. He throws grenades. He throws the grenades over inside the fort. And those grenades would be popping off all the time while you axemen cut through the glacis so the men could storm it with the bayonets. Now that's what a grenadier is. Now here's the song of the British Grenadiers. Some speak of Alexander and some of Hercules, of Hector and Lysander, and such great men as these. But of all the world forgotten, there's none that can hold sway. With rah ta ra ta ra ta ra, the British Grenadier. And you'll hear that doggone song all over the world. Everybody knows that song, because on the parades, when the Queen goes any place, you get the Guards regiments. And you'll get the Grenadier Guards, you'll get the Scots Guards, you'll get the Welsh Guards with the Men of Harlech. Your Scots Guards, they march to this song. Drums in the heart are drumming, I hear the pipes are humming. My bonny laddie is o'er the sea. Somewhere a ship and crew sailing, the motion blues ringing, bringing my bonny to me. That's why the drums are drumming, that's why the pipes are humming. My bonnie laddie is coming to me. Drums and my heart are drumming, I hear the pipes are humming. My bonnie laddie is coming to me.
Now, Britton, you got all those Guards regiments. Hey, ever wondered how come they got those big old tall hats on it?
Well,
they got them in battle, see? They got them fighting the Napoleon's own guard. Now, Napoleon's own guard, Napoleon, he was something else. And if you've read my book, Vigilantes, you'll know sort of his thinking. Napoleon was a very great man in many respects. And he selected a special bodyguard. I won't go into the way he fought. If we got some time later on, I'd like to do that because warfare to me is real interesting. Real interesting. All of us at heart are soldiers. We can't hear the sound of guns and we can't hear the sound of the bugle without that blood and the heart picking up. We just can't do it. The sweetest sound ever heard, I think, is a machine gun. Well, each of us like the music, you know. Anyway, where the song comes, face the music. You've heard that expression? Okay, it's time to face the music. You mean, you know, it's time you won't get yours, you know. I don't tell you where it comes from. I'm going to tell you where those hats come from. Now, to be a member of the Guards, the French Guards, you had to be a hero, an outstanding hero, in one of the French regiments through all the world. And he had the greatest army in the world. And so those 20,000 men were the pick, creme de creme of all of the French armies everywhere. To be a grenadier, everybody grew a mustache if they could possibly do it, and they were clean shaven. They all looked like it. All had these tall the tall shakos on. Bearskin caps. All of them had these mustaches and they all looked alike from a distance, and they looked like they were 7 foot tall. They really did. And they had a song. It was a song of the revolution. And it's a song that our French brothers played. Hey, we got anybody here, French ancestry? Okay, here, we got a bunch here. Still got a bunch of them. And this was a song of the revolution. It started off as nothing but a two-bit communist song, see? But it was taken by Napoleon. And it turned to be the song, song of the empire. It turned out to be the song of France. It's the national anthem of France today. And I'm sorry, I can't sing it to you in French. I just don't know French. And I don't know German either, but I know a few of their songs. But anyway, it goes like this. Okay, let me tell you what you're going to see. Let's pretend that you're in one of the British regiments. You're standing here. And the old sergeant at the end, he says, okay, boys, it's time to face the music. And then, there's one thing I didn't tell you. All French regiments marched to music. Each French regiment had a band right behind it. They all marched in step. And can you picture this? You hear the drums. You hear the drums before you ever see anybody. And then you see some dots on the outline of the hill. And they're bobbing up and down like that. And a great line of men coming all in perfect step. And all of them 7 or 8, 10 feet tall with those big tall hats on, you know. Your sons of France awake to glory. Hark what merits. Beat your eyes. Da 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 da. To arms, ye brave, to arms, this glorious day. March on, all hearts resolved on victory or death. Present, ha, boom! And the
We have never faced the music yet, but we will. And somebody is going to write our music one of these days. I'm looking for it. All right, the Waterloo was fought. Blücher came in on the right flank. Märkischheit with his Brandenburger regiments. Some speak of Alexander, the British regiments in front. And he was trapped. And to gain time for the rest of the French army to withdraw, the Guards regiment deployed into line. They deployed into line. And then they saw there were too many, so go into square. So the French regiments formed these great squares. And they faced it like this. And they loaded and fired, and loaded and fired, and loaded and fired. And the British, the Germans, and all surrounded those squares, and they turned their cannon on them and double-shotted them with shot and blasted. Every time they blasted, 20 of them would go down. Heroes, heroes, heroes going down at every blast. And a British officer put a flag on the end of his sword, came forward, and he said, "Surrender in the name of the Queen, of the King." And the French, young French general, I think he was 23 years old, he rode out and says, "The French guard dies, it does not surrender." And he rode back in, and the battle commenced, and they all died. And the British regiments went over, took their helmets and put them on the bearskin caps and put them in their heads, and that's why they wear them today. They shouldn't have done it, in my opinion, because a hero deserves a hero's. That was that's why they wear the bearskin caps. I just thought you'd like to know that little extra piece of information. All right, now, in Virginia, we got some Germans here. We owe our existence to a Swiss German. His name was Lou Wetzel, Le Vent de la Mort, the wind of death. You never heard him. You never saw him. If you were an Indian, you died. By himself, he would pick up a war party in Kentucky. And once the Indians knew that Lou Wetzel or the death wind was around, they would just continue on into it rather than turn home, because it made no difference which way they went. They were all going to die. And they would just try to kill as many settlers as they could before they all died, because die they would. Lou Wetzel could load. He could run at top speed and reload his rifle while he was running, scrambling up hills and scrambling down hills, load and put in a pan and turn around and shoot the next Indian. His rifle was never empty. You try that sometime. Every time I think of Lou Wetzel, I think of Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, über alles in der Welt. Wenn die Städte zu schützen, Schütze, Brüte, Lüge zusammenhält, von der Mars bis an der Memel, von der Edge bis an der Welt. Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, über alles in der Welt. Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, über alles in der Welt. I've got so many songs for you, and I've got 1 minute. So all I've got to say to you is this. Learn your ancestry. Learn your heritage. Learn our magnificent past and the heroes of the past. Learn their songs. Learn to don't be afraid of standing up and singing like I am. I'm always scared to death before I stand before an audience like you. Do it, because if you don't, the songs won't be sung and your children won't hear them, and they can't sing to their children. And thank you so much for your time here.
Well, and there it was, Richard Kelly Hoskins, Song and Saga. I hope you enjoyed that message. I know it was a little bit different, but that's what I decided to play this morning. And as we get ready for communion, we're going to have a communion message by Pastor Peters, but I would like to start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us. And as we come to this part of our Sunday where we partake of communion, we just pray, Father, that we can put away the cares of the world, that we can put you first and foremost, that we can forgive those that have done us wrong. Pray, Father, that we can have the forgiveness in our lives that we need to have. We pray, Father, you forgive us for the sins that we've done. We ask that you continue to direct us and lead us on those paths of righteousness. We pray, Father, do a little bit better this week than we did last week. We pray that you assist us in that, that you guide us, and that you direct us. We pray, Father, that you help us to be better husbands, to be better wives, to be better patriots, to love you more with all our hearts, our minds, our soul. Pray these things in Jesus Christ.
Heavenly Father, as we know of the ministry, saints gathering together around the Lord's table, you know I've already prayed over this loaf and the loaves that they have out there. Oh, Heavenly Father, I've prayed, as you know, and I want them that by your grace and mercy that you would overlook those that have purified their hearts for purification purposes to partake, but that you, through your grace, would grant anyway your great abundant mercy and love and loving kindness that is there extended to us through this meal that we partake. Oh, Heavenly Father, help all the saints to come out of this sleeping sorcery spell and recognize that the body that they eat is not only the Lamb of God, but the Lion of Judah. And Heavenly Father, that there's healing. And Lord, I know there's healing that's needed out there. Broken hearts hurting real bad. But Lord, there's kidneys that aren't working right, and hearts that aren't beating properly, thyroids that are low and slow, or whatever it might be. Lord, whatever it be, I pray now for that birthright benefit that is ours through the cross, that you sent not only your Son to take ours, and that was good plenty right then and there, but by your mercy, he takes also our infirmity. So as we eat of the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, let all the benefits, and there's many of them, Lord, as we've preached about it from this pulpit, all the benefits of communion, let it come into our life. And Lord, same way with the cup that I prayed over today. And Lord, create within us a clean heart, a steadfast spirit. Let us no longer be mugwumps with our mug on one and a womp on the other, but Lord, let us be hot Christians for you. Warriors that you would be proud of, that march in the name Jesus Christ and come conquering for the King of Kings and taking this world back for him. Oh, Heavenly Father, you said to do this in remembrance, and we do. We remember that you so loved us that you did not even spare your only begotten Son. Now bless us as we do partake. And direct and guide my minds and the words that I'm going to say before we do partake in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we partake, I have mine here. We'll pass them out here. You people out there, and I know there's many of you, you have your cup ready and your loaf ready. You know, if you've been coming to the church here lately, I've been preaching on deception. I want you to know that Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of the man of sin, who is a deceiver, operating undercover, and he will be revealed. Praise God, you Amalekite bastards, you are going to be revealed. But Heavenly Father has told us the day of the Lord would not come except first the apostasy comes first. And I thought this week, now I took my sweet bride and we had kind of a getaway this week. We got up by a mountain stream. It was our wedding anniversary week. And the place we were staying at had, and I did flick it on and look through it a little bit. And I don't know when this jungle gyrating gigolo Jackson died, but it had to be some time back, wasn't it? But they were still showing that on TV. And people crying big crocodile tears. And I thought, you talk about apostasy, not just in the nation, but worldwide. I want you to know something. You can sing about love all you want, and I love to hear love songs. Don't get me wrong. But my God is a God that hates, and you better get your head put on straight, because you don't have the love of God if you don't have the holy hate in your life today. And I want to tell you today that it's just the same as it was yesterday. Our God hates idolatry. It destroys the soul for eternity. It does. And that moon-walking, gyrating, pedophile bastard. Thank God you're gone. Thank God and Greyhound, you're gone. Burn in hell and all the rest of you burn in hell with you.
As prepared for idolatry.
That's why nobody ever comes to hear you, Pastor Peters. Oh, they're out there, and they're still listening. And the enemy knows we're coming. I want to tell you, you talk about apostasy. Now that old king,
the king,
he's no longer in the house. A rock and roll that taught our women to be a bunch of bitches. He ain't nothing but a hound dog. He came on the scene first. And now they say this old boy, gyrating gigolo jungle jacks, was the king of pop. Well, pop, crackle, and snap. And if you want to burn in hell with him, you will. But I'm going to tell you something. God hates idolatry. And if that isn't idolatry, I don't know what is. Well, what does that have in Pastor Peters? I'll tell you what it has to do. I think it's a sad thing in the world today. When the world cries crocodile tears for some filthy, stinking pedophile. Let me tell you a story. I don't know if it's true. But old Farrah Fawcett up at the pearly gates, and every one of you will. Peter asked if she, St. Peter did, if she had a wish. And she says, I wish for all the little children that I left behind to be saved. So St. Peter said, well, that's a pretty big wish. I tell you what do you say we just take out Michael Jackson? Do you hear that kind of preaching from the pulpits today? You see, that's why I give a disclaimer for Brother Dave. No, you don't. Because you heap to yourselves teachers after your own desires. You want to hear about sweet things. Well, I'm going to tell you something Jesus said. Ye that practice lawlessness. I didn't hear, at least I heard the old king of rock and roll sing a few good gospel songs. I never heard the king of pop sing them. Of course, I never listened to the clown. Freak that he was. I'll tell you something. There are still some men that have not lost their salt. Your granddads would have said that exactly what I'm telling you right now. To see that gyrating piece of pedophile scum held up as an idol. For everybody to cry about, I want to tell you something. Apostasy, when we live in a world that would cry crocodile tears for old Jesse, and they don't even give a thought for Jesus. You still love him? He said, I never did love you. I tell you what, those that love the truth love to hear people tell the truth. And I'm telling you, they get hot or you get cold. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love my children. But when I see somebody coming after them, they'll know what they were. Been coming after our children, leading them off into the spirit of idolatry. And that's just one down. But I ought to say something about that before we take it. Because I don't mind crying a tear or two when I think about the fact all he did to die for my sin. He paid the price. And I remember it, and I have been remembering by the grace of God, born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized for the remission of sins. They told me this is what Jesus said to do, and that is do this in remembrance of me. And I found out it's true. Every first day of the week, the saints gathered together in the first century, and they remembered. They ate of the flesh, and they drank of the blood. And that's what... I guess I'll need a cup brought. Thank you very much. Our Father in heaven, I've already prayed over this loaf, and now we remember. We judge the body rightly, his body, taking our sins and our... And we eat of it with our mind's eye looking. At that cross, we thank you for the price you paid to redeem us. You may partake. Our Heavenly Father, precious in your sight was the blood and in ours. And it's a precious time for us now as we drink of it in remembrance.
We thank you for being here. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. We are adjourned.